is another lovely folk song Bartok arranged for piano. They are part of a collection he published called Pieces for Children. Bartok has written some beautiful pieces for the beginning, intermediate, and advanced pianist. He was a great pianist himself. I hope you hear some things on this tape today that you will want to learn and enjoy. Now down to business. To begin with, we are going to learn some new words. In fact, this entire side is going to be directed toward learning new words. Some of the words you may already know. In that case, we will increase our understanding of the new words. When we learn new words, we are expanding our vocabulary, causing it to grow. Why do you think it would be important to expand your vocabulary? Turn the tape off for a moment and write down some reasons why you feel it would be important to expand your vocabulary. Turn the tape off and write your answers now. I'll bet you came up with some good answers. Let's add one more to the list. When you learn new words, you learn new ideas. The more true ideas you have, the greater power you have over the world around you. Every word stands for an idea. For example, if I say the word chair, an idea of a chair comes into your mind. Can you see it? What does the chair you are thinking of look like? If I say cake, what kind of cake comes to mind? Chocolate? Carrot cake? Lemon cake? If I say candy, what kind of candy do you think of? Learning new words enables you to learn new ideas. For example, what does the word gonium bring to your mind? Probably nothing. Most likely it is a new word for you. You have no idea associated with the new word gonium. A gonium is a type of germ cell. Now when I say gonium, can you see a germ? Next time you see your mother or brother, you can say, wait a minute, hold still. I think I see several goniums crawling all over you. I had a friend who had a good vocabulary. Sometimes he would use his vocabulary in a rather rude way. When he would date a girl, he would say, oh, you look so bovine. The girl, thinking the word divine, which means godlike, was the word bovine, would always say, why, thank you. However, bovine does not mean godlike, like divine. Bovine means like a cow. So as he was saying, oh, you look so bovine, you know what he was saying. So as you expand your vocabulary, you also expand your ability to think new ideas, to learn new things, and create a richer, more successful life. Many people think that Béla Bartók was the greatest musical mind of the 20th century. Do you think he had a good vocabulary? You bet he did. He had a good vocabulary in many different languages. One of the languages he knew was the language of music. Instead of using words, composers use notes or pitches, rhythms, dynamics, and other things to put ideas in your head and feelings in your heart. Bartók worked hard to learn the language of music. He also lived during a time when many composers were trying very hard to add new meanings or musical words to the musical vocabulary. On this tape, we are going to learn some new words so that we can talk about Bartók's musical ideas. Words like percussive, lyric, dissonance, consonance, and resolve. We are going to use these words to find out what made Bartók sound like Bartók and not Beethoven or Bach. How was he different from other composers? How was he the same? I hope when we are finished with both sides of this tape that you will want to learn much of Bartók's music so you can share the wonderful ideas that he discovered and add to your own vocabulary of musical understanding, thus giving you more power over the world around you. The first two words we are going to learn are percussive and lyric. The word percuss means to tap, strike, or hit. I like the word clobber, to percuss. The word percussion comes from percuss. A percussion instrument is an instrument that is hit or clobbered. You hit a drum. A drum is a percussion instrument. You hit cymbals together. Cymbals are a percussion instrument. You can turn just about anything into a percussion instrument. The table, rocks, sticks, your little brother. The opposite of percussive is lyric. Lyric means song-like. It comes from the Greek instrument called a lyre, spelled L-Y-R-E, lyre. A lyre looks a lot like a harp. The Greeks would use the lyre to accompany their singing. Now, when we say a piano piece is very lyric or lyrical, we mean that it is very song-like, a song-like melody. When we think of composers who wrote lyric piano pieces, we think of Mozart, Schubert, Chopin. Can you think of any others? Here is a lyric piece by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. It is very lyric or song-like. As you listen, try and hum the melody in your own mind. I think that's a pretty piece. Let's listen to another lyric piece, this time by our star composer of the day, Béla Bartók, from his Pieces for Children. This lyric piece for children is a setting of a Hungarian folk song once again. Bartók spent much of his life trying to preserve the folk songs of his country. After he had collected them, he wanted to make them available for all people to enjoy, so he began writing interesting arrangements of these folk songs for people to play. They didn't sell very well at first, but now they are known the world over. Bartók was not only known for his lyric pieces, he was one of the composers around the turn of the century that helped change people's conception of the piano from a lyric and rhythmic instrument to a percussive instrument. When we try to think of percussive type of piano pieces, we don't think of Mozart, Schubert, or Chopin. We think of Bartók, Stravinsky, or Prokofiev, piano pounders, piano percussors. Beethoven was called a piano pounder, if you remember, but he didn't play percussively. He played loud, but not percussively. The piano didn't sound as though it was being hit. To give you an idea of the difference, let's listen to a couple of pieces from Bartók's Microcosmos, a collection of pieces he wrote for his son. Microcosmos is a wonderful collection you may want to study. In this collection, we find several pieces that treat the piano as a percussive instrument, such as this one, number 153 from Microcosmos. ¶¶ kind of a wild little piece, isn't it? Let's listen to another one. This time, Microcosmos number 146. Now we're ready for a little test. I'm going to play excerpts from 5 different pieces. Write down whether it is an example of a percussive composition or a lyric composition with a song-like melody. Number 1. That is Bartok's Microcosmos, Volume 6, page 36, number 133. What did you think it was? Percussive or lyric? I would say it was percussive, too. Let's try number 2 now, a second piece. That was another piece by Béla Bartók. What did you think? Percussive or lyric? I would say it was lyric. Let's try a third piece now. This piece. I could listen to it all day. What do you think? Percussive or lyric? I would say it was lyric as well. Now let's try number 4. Listen carefully. Well, what do you think? Percussive or lyric? I would say it was percussive. Now for our 5th and final piece. And the answer to number 5 is lyric. All of the pieces you heard were pieces by Béla Bartók, either from his Pieces for Children or his Microcosmos. I used to enjoy playing Bartók so much as a child, I would play him over and over again. However, I was taught to play so lyrically that I did not know that people could play percussively on the piano. One weekend, I went to my cousin's wedding at a very large church in Los Angeles. After the wedding, everyone proceeded to a large banquet hall in another part of the church. Being only 9 years old, I soon grew tired of the wedding reception. I wanted to go back and look at that huge organ in the sanctuary. As luck would have it, the organist had stayed to practice. I walked up and stood behind him. I must have made him feel a little uncomfortable, for I stayed there for a long time, but I didn't care. He was playing some 20th century pieces on that organ that were percussive rather than lyrical. I had never heard anything like it. The trip home seemed to be 14 hours rather than 6. As soon as I got home, I ran to my room, searched through my music for anything that sounded like what the organist had been playing. I found it in the works of Bartok and some of the pieces of Kabalevsky. My poor piano teacher. From then on, I wanted to play even the most lyric of pieces, as if they were percussive. One of the things that helps composers sound percussive or lyric is their use of dissonance and consonance. Unresolved dissonance was a favorite toy of early 20th century composers, and a favorite complaint of their audiences. Let's begin with the word consonance. Con, C-O-N, is a Latin word that means with. The last part of the word consonance is sonance. It comes from the word sonare or sonare, which is Latin for sound or to sound. Perhaps you have heard of a sonar on a submarine. The submarine sends out a sonar or a sound. The sound bounces off objects like a torpedo or another submarine, and then the sound comes back to the original sub. The men aboard the sub can then tell where the underwater object is. Sonar, sonare, to sound. Put the cone back in front of sonare, or sonance, and we have consonance, or with sound. Or in other words, sounds that sound good with each other. They sound in harmony. You have studied intervals in The Magic of Inner Hearing. The intervals that are thought of as sounding good with each other are the intervals of a third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. These intervals are called consonant intervals, or consonant sounds. Sounds that sound good with each other. Con, meaning with, sonant, meaning sound, to sound, or with good sound. Let's listen to a song that uses consonant intervals and chords to harmonize the melody. I'll bet you've heard it before. For Elise. Who was that song by? Right, Beethoven. It used consonant harmonies, didn't it? They sounded good together. The opposite of consonant is dissonant. Dis means apart or opposite of. The opposite of girls is boy. The opposite of stop is go. Dis means opposite. So if we place dis in front of sonare or sonant, we have dissonant, or more literally, the opposite of that which sounds good or pleasant. In other words, sounds that are harsh or unpleasant. Intervals that are traditionally thought of as sounding unpleasant are the second and the seventh. The tritone, or augmented fourth, is also thought of as being dissonant. As a matter of fact, people who lived in the Middle Ages and Renaissance didn't like the sound of the tritone so much that they called it the devil's interval, or the devil in music. This thought of the devil in music intrigued composers of the Romantic period so much that some composers wrote entire pieces around the tritone to kind of make a splash, composers like Franz Liszt. Let's listen to a piece of music that uses a lot of unresolved dissonance. This piece is by Bartok. It uses a lot of sevenths and seconds. Why, it even uses the devil's interval, the infamous tritone. As you listen, decide for yourself if what you are hearing has pleasant sounds, consonants, or mostly unpleasant sounds, dissonance. Thank you. Well, what was your decision? Was the piece mostly consonant to your ears or dissonant? For most of the 20th century, composers, musicians, and the public have argued back and forth. Some said that intervals of seconds and sevenths only sound harsh because we have been trained to hear them as harsh. That given time and exposure, the world would come to hear those sounds as pleasant ones. Others argued that no matter how much a person heard those intervals, they would still sound harsh, unpleasant. Sharp, dissonant lines were drawn. However, at the end of the 20th century, according to Musical America magazine, more and more composers are leaning toward the original view of consonance and dissonance. The dissonance doesn't surprise us anymore, though it still sounds harsh. Now let's test your understanding of these words. I will play portions of five pieces. Write whether you think they sound mostly consonant or mostly dissonant in the traditional sense of the words. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Now the final one, number five. Five of the pieces you just listened to were by Béla Bartók. Do you have your answers written down? I can tell you mine. I thought number one was consonant, number two was dissonant, number three was dissonant, number four was consonant, and number five was mostly dissonant. The objective of this tape, as well as all of the composer tapes, is to entice you to want to learn different and new types of music. If you only know one style of music, then there is no choice. The more styles of music you know, the greater choice and freedom you have, the greater opportunities you have for finding joy in this life. Keep an open mind. Learn all you can in as many areas as you can so you can have true freedom. If you don't like a certain style on the first hearing, you may want to study it for a while. It may grow on you. As a young boy, my teacher had me start on Bach, Week after week, I would practice his music thinking, how long must I endure this dude? However, as I became more familiar with his style and began to learn his musical language, I came to love the music of Bach. As a teenager, I hated opera. One day the thought came to me, Brad, a lot of people find enjoyment in opera. They have for a few hundred years. Find out what is good and beautiful in that style. So I went to our high school's tiny library. They happened to have several recordings of operas. I listened and listened and listened. I couldn't find much that was good or beautiful in it. Still, I continued listening. There's got to be something in this stuff that people find worthwhile, I thought. A few years later, I bought a recording of Pavarotti, Horn, and Sutherland singing opera at the Lincoln Center in New York. For some reason, it all came together. I had studied the musical language long enough now that I sat enthralled and lifted to the heavens by many of the songs that were sung on that recording. I would strongly encourage you to work hard at your music, continually open new doors of knowledge and experience, testing all things and holding fast to that which is good.